So as I said, our lectionary readings for this week may seem especially on the nose. We got to hear one of the most comforting Bible passages that any of us can be familiar with. It's one of the most commonly read and memorized passages of Scripture in Psalm 23. And we hear this story of Jesus doing a healing and people having so many questions around that healing, around the man himself who was healed, around who Jesus was. And we know, as we're dealing with an outbreak of illness, that that's one of the biggest ways that any of us can respond to circumstances like that. Just a huge list and run of questions. Where did this come from? Why is this happening? Who's the one who's going to be able to help us do anything about this? What does it look like to support each other? What are we supposed to do? How much are we supposed to meet or not meet, stay home or not stay home? So many questions come up when there's so much uncertainty and when they're suffering. Even when things begin to go well, there can be more and more questions. And so I'm sure we feel like there's a lot of things in these scriptures that we can connect with and relate to. I know that there have been a lot of conspiracy theories thrown around about the coronavirus in particular, and hopefully we're all trying to make sure that we check our information, that we only share information with others, that we can be confident in its accuracy. I'm also then especially hoping that coming out of this morning's scripture reading and sermon, that I won't see any new conspiracies posted by the congregation about how the lectionary writers wanted to do something with the disease like this so that their lectionary readings could be especially topical and they could feel like they had something that really connected with people. We have to keep all of those conspiracy theories as to a minimum as possible. But what are some of those questions that are most impactful for us in these circumstances? Again, it could be around illness, could be around healing, it could be around another difficulty that we have in our life, a major conflict with a loved one, something going wrong in our lives at work, an accident happening that seems to come out of nowhere. One of the things we most want to do is not just move forward, but to make sense of things. And in this passage, in this encounter with the blind man, Jesus not only wants to respond to the man's blindness and offer him something to reconnect with the community, to have a new capacity for himself by healing his sight, but he also sees how much people are trying to make sense of things. And there's a response in that that we can see too. And so as we are going through this time, I encourage us to look at some of those questions. I encourage us to think about how God helps us make sense of things, especially as they are still very new and very uncertain. The first question that we see in this passage, again, remember, is the disciples asking Jesus, who sinned that this man is ill? Whose fault is this? And we can definitely relate to that. There have already been so many comments about who's at fault for the disease happening in China. So many people who are Asian American and who are of Asian descent around the world have reported being bullied or harassed or having prejudice against them since this started. We can see how people wanting to place blame, and then in the response, who's to blame for things working, for things not working, who gets credit, who do we look down on? It's one of the first questions that we ask, and we see that right away, Jesus deflects that question and doesn't even give in to it. He especially does want to watch out for people who would be mistreated because of people's assumptions around this question. The man and his parents, his loved ones, who might otherwise be blamed in the culture at the time, Jesus makes sure to say that that has nothing to do with what they're experiencing. Jesus shows grace and love to people who might otherwise be shunned or blamed. And in fact, Jesus says that things happen and God is able to step into them and show how God is with us, how God responds to even our worst circumstances, and how God is capable to lead us forward. And wants us to focus on that. What is God doing, and how can we be a part of what God is doing? So many other questions once Jesus heals the man is people saying, what do we know? Is Jesus from God? Is Jesus from Satan? Is Jesus a prophet? Is Jesus powerful? Was this a trick? Is this even the man who was blind? People question what is real, what is true, and seem to have difficulty believing even those things that are right in front of them from reliable sources. The Pharisees come in and do that even more, testing and prodding and challenging and insulting the man and his family. What do we know? And again, we know that this is relevant for our circumstances right now, like I mentioned with conspiracy theories going around, or in other circumstances in our life. We feel like if we could get more knowledge, maybe we could have power over something that feels like it's spinning out of our control. Maybe we can bargain to ourselves that something seems, sometimes we think it's worse than it is, and it's hard for us to take information that something may have a path forward, or sometimes we want to say that things are better than they are, and we have trouble facing the reality of the situation and figuring out how to move forward from that. I think when we see the Pharisees come in and asking all of their questions, we see that especially both of these questions, who sinned and what do we know, and all of their iterations, ultimately are about people trying to say, who's in control? What level of control can I have over my circumstances? What level of control can I have over somebody else's circumstances? What level of control can I have over this experience and say that I'm the one who's going to handle it, someone else is going to be able to handle it, and I don't have to worry about it? And we want to be able to have as much of that for our benefit, I think, most of the time as we can. The Pharisees want to be in control and say that they are the ones who know God, that they are the ones who can bless or curse a healing, and who can bless or curse a person who is being healed. They don't like seeing that Jesus might come in and challenge some of their control and some of their assumptions and some of the ways that they treat other people. But that's exactly how God comes into our lives. We looked at this in our Pilgrim series. We've looked at this in other things so far in Lent, that we know that God breaks in and challenges our assumptions, challenges the ways that we try to control that would cause harm and be at the expense of other people. And so at times like this, it can be very difficult to say that we're willing to let go of control and ask God to be the one that helps us have wisdom to discern what information is useful or not useful, to help us be discerning about how we spend our time and whether or not we mainly do things that look out for ourselves or whether or not we do things that are mindful of other people around us as well. And Jesus consistently shows that when he comes in to have control, when God comes in to have control, that it's not to disempower, to blame, to harm others, but it's always to empower, to heal, to create new connection for others, and that is a sign of true godly and life-giving control, rather than control that wrestles things away from people or causes more harm than good. And so when we're in those situations, when we're doing our best to say, I believe, like the man, like his family, that this experience is from God, or that I'm trying to see in this difficult experience, what things do I need to do that help me get in line and in tune with what God is doing? I want to be a part of what God is doing in the world. We ask another question. Who is God in this situation? What does God's control look like? You may not have noticed this, but I think that we see this in people wrestling with what to call Jesus. What name do we give this thing that Jesus did? In one case, we see that the man calls Jesus a prophet. He says that he knows that he must have been able to heal him because he's from God. He is a prophet. The parents are worried about the Pharisees being mad at them because they think that if they say that Jesus might be the Messiah, that this healing is a sign that Jesus is the Savior, that the Pharisees will say that they're blasphemers and that the Pharisees will do something horrible to them because they know that the Pharisees have been watching out for Jesus very carefully. So they think that maybe the Messiah title is relevant, but they want to stay away from it as much as they possibly can. And then ultimately Jesus asks the blind man who he healed, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? I am the Son of Man who you're speaking to now." So what does that tell us about what God is doing in a situation? What God's control looks like? That we wonder, is Jesus a prophet? Are there just people who are connected to God in some way? We look for those folks to point us to God, which can be useful, but Jesus continues to take us in steps further down the line. Is Jesus the Messiah? We are used to thinking of Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior. But at the same time, at that time in history, people thought of the Messiah as essentially a military leader who would come in and destroy all of Israel's oppressors, at this time the Romans, and he'd kill them all or cast them out and then set up a whole new kingdom that could protect Israel in that sort of military strongman way. And Jesus would say that that's not the type of kingdom that he's coming in. That's not the type of control that Jesus is trying to exert. And so instead we get the Son of Man title. And why is that title so important and that Jesus actually uses the most to refer to himself compared to any other title? Son of Man was a figure that was written about in Daniel, in prophecies of Daniel, of how things might be towards the end of the world. And it's this figure that is like a person, looks like a person, is a Son of Man, but is clearly coming from a divine source. And what's most unique about this divine source is that it doesn't come in and sweep everyone else away, that this divine figure is a suffering servant, takes on consequences and pain and difficulty upon himself rather than having it be exerted onto everyone else around him. Jesus uses this figure, this image, this understanding to talk most about who he is and what his control in a circumstance looks like. Jesus shows amazing power to heal the blind man, but wants us to interpret it through the idea of being a servant, of doing things that will cost, of showing love even to those who might not deserve it. And if we want to look for God's control in any circumstance, even difficult, scary circumstances, we'll see God moving in those places where there is love, even if it's undeserved, where there is service, even when you could have taken advantage, and even where there might be suffering, even when you could have chosen safety. And that's what it looks like for us to try to follow along and be God's example. And so that's our final question. Who are we as we try to follow God? How do we live in a relationship with this amazing, different, new kind of control that God shows us? Jesus reminds us and all those listening at the end of the passage that he came to heal the blind. That his figure of judgment is to make those who understand their brokenness healed and restored and whole. And that those who presume their wholeness will have something that will remind them of their fragility if they're going to be restored. Jesus uses similar language in other parts of the Gospels. Here he talks about the blind being able to see, those who can see becoming blind, around being someone who came not for the to be a doctor to the well, but to the sick, to heal those who understand their weakness, their struggle, their fragility, but that they'll be raised up and restored and given wholeness. And so that's a part of what we are encouraged, I think, to get in touch with during these times. We don't have to pretend and have bluster that everything is fine, We don't have to deny the things that worry us or scare us. We don't have to act like we can solve it all with the first miracle cure that someone posts online and hasn't been checked out in any way. We can trust that when we're fully vulnerable with God, with all the things that we're feeling, all the things that we're wondering, all the things that make us susceptible even to illness, to loneliness, to sadness, to feeling like we're disconnected from people, that those are all the places that God will show up. And that if we're acknowledging our own frailty, and that helps us reach out to other people and be mindful of the experiences that we're sharing in our worries, in our concerns, that that's where God will make our bonds the tightest and will empower us to be creative and to be brave and to find those ways to be God's family even when external circumstances make it difficult. And so as an encouragement in that spirit, how we are honest with our concerns, with our frailties, and we look for God's loving, serving, even suffering control to come into our lives and make us whole when things are difficult. I encourage you to be mindful of the words of Psalm 23 again. In that passage, we see that God guides us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But we also need to walk. That God is with us. God empowers us. God will show us paths, but we should follow them. We need to redefine what it is that we have to have. We have daily bread in the Lord's Prayer that we did together. We have pastures and still waters, not necessarily anything glamorous, but God gives us what we need and we can be thankful for it. And we know that there's so much hoarding and things going on right now, and I encourage us to have a spirit of sharing and not a spirit of scarcity, to see the green pastures that God is giving us, to see the waters that God is giving us that we might otherwise miss. Of course, we're not promised that we'll have no guilt, no difficulty, no pain, that we'll go through the valleys of the shadow of death, but we aren't alone. And as we feel that fear, we can know that God will come and empower us and help us be brave, no matter what the evil is. God lays a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints us. He gives us a cup that's overflowing. We can think of that as healing, and we can pray for God's healing, especially as we're mindful of physical illness right now. But those are also metaphors of responsibility. You anoint someone as a ruler. You anoint someone for a special task or mission. And so if we are anointed, that means God has things for us to do. And if the table is before us in front of our enemies, then perhaps we're anointed especially for reconciliation and for connection. And those people who we might see as putting us at risk, as to blame, as problems, and anything that we're seeing, that God might encourage us to offer them, even those folks, support in particular, in a way to feel supported by God and not needing to exert their own harmful control to spread misinformation, whatever it might be. And so it indeed is true, goodness and love that follows us all the days of our lives are both the blessing to us and the responsibility we carry to be a blessing to others. Wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, in the rest of our life, whatever that looks like, we live with God when we walk and work with God in all of those ways that we see. I encourage all of you, as you are watching and wrapping up today, again, remember to look at the choir. I know it's a little bit different to have just me and no beautiful music this morning on the stream, but Brian did post the choir anthem. I encourage you to listen to that, appreciate its beauty, and be encouraged through music as well. But also continue to comment, not only in the thread of this video, but on other places in the Facebook page, especially about those stories, that we can see God's provision, that we can see God's encouragement, that we can see ourselves and those around us living out God's loving, service type of control and walking with God in that. I know I've already heard of people praying for each other, making errand runs for each other, making sure that people who might feel alone know that they have people who love them and are looking out for them and are contacting them and wanting to talk with them, making sure that we have all the supplies that we need. I've seen people saying that they're willing to go without something while they're seeing other people hoard stuff. All of those are beautiful examples of how God is helping us be God's people in a difficult circumstance. I'd love to see and hear more examples of that. So if there's something that you're trying to do to follow God in this circumstance, if there's things that you have seen people do, please comment on that so we can see that and be encouraged together about what God is doing and how God is empowering all of us. I'll look forward to seeing that in future Facebook log-ons.